Father mentioned in his letter in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago that the Lord began offering the cup of precious blood these masses this weekend. And how we're going to do it is we're going to have one cup. Because last night happened for the first time that the cup was against the step and the two breads are in front. So when you come up the aisle, you see bread, and if you wish, you come around and if you want to take from the cup. We only had 5 people last night who took the cup. It's strictly up to you. There's no pressure. We make that clear. There's no pressure. This is your choice. And just as I receive the hand or the mouth, it's your choice. Right? So that's the way we're going to do it. And if we happen to run out of wine, it's some of us. Because wonderful thing, just the best. Yet we do so proud of having been married, have Christ. So I go in and talk to some big cousin guys. This has been coming on for years. This has been coming on since he was a child. And he just could not keep it in anymore. And he finally told the two most important people in his life. Not his other brother or sister, his parents. They taught him well. But the reaction of the parents was something that I did not agree with. Because all of us in life have problems. You can't be a human being unless you struggle. Unless you go through pain. And every negative or pejorative thing that happens in life, you have to go through that. And so many people, for whatever reason, pride, embarrassment, not embarrassing somebody else, but keep it in. Keep it inside. And it's sin. Very sin. In today's gospel, two men have just experienced the death of their Messiah. And Jesus walks up to them. It's a stranger on the road. But they just walked on the road. They didn't have a lot of guns in those days. They didn't have a lot of buses or cars. So they walked. And they would meet other people and they would walk with them. And they didn't know who this guy was. What were they talking about? They were talking about what they just experienced, the one that their Savior, the one that they put their hopes in, the man who would save them from the Romans, was just humiliated and crucified. And they were downstream. They were in the same sense what these parents were. They had no idea what to say, no idea what to do, no idea what to believe. And what was the next step? And Jesus walks up to them. And doesn't say anything. He listens. He listens to the heart. And they still don't get that. This was the sign. And now it's not. He said, but one of our group said he was alive. And then Jesus slowly but surely, as walking along, explains to them the reality of the scriptures. See how the scriptures talk about this? They say in the Old Testament that he's the Messiah. The Messiah will suffer. And then rise again. And as he talked to them, as they walked together, they began to feel a little bit better. They began to see, not only see, but appropriate in their minds and in their hearts what Jesus was really saying. I want you to put yourself in the position of the parents of that young man. I also want to put you in the position of these two men on the road. What did they need on the road? They were downtrodden. They needed somebody to walk with them. They didn't need people yelling at them. They didn't need people scorning them. They didn't need people saying, you like me, you're my faith. They need people putting them down, tearing them down. We do enough of that in life. All they wanted was somebody to listen. Not to their judges, to listen. And that's what I eventually did in that situation. For that 15-year-old kid. It did not happen that day. It did not happen next week. for exactly the same situation. And I got them together. And I will have a remark to that the other person's house. So that they could share with them the opportunity, which is exactly the same. Any parent who is told their child is gay, lesbian, transgender, or whatever, has got to be necessary. And easy thing to do is strike out. Get out of this. That's not solving anything. That's not going to drive the person further into oblivion. Jesus does the right thing in this gospel. He comes and walks with them. Not behind them, not beside them, he walks with them and explains to them how they need to crucify. They made a mistake. They perceived wrong. Their expectations were right. This was no sign. He is no saint. But the crucifixion alienated so many people. So many people. Because they knew that was the only way to go. But God is a God of surprises. And he was a big surprise at it. And it's still a big surprise now. You'd be surprised that it's all you want to get. You'd be surprised in this day and age. Because of all that's happened in this world over the last 15 or 20 years, how many people are questioning the resurrection? They agree with the resurrection. Okay, God, of course, that's a historical fact from Roman literature. But they have trouble believing in the resurrection. They have trouble believing that God is that coming, that he's that coming, that he's that flesh. The end of the story, sometimes I say stories I don't finish the end. The end of the story, or the beginning of this Jesus' life, was that the other person, the other thing, explain to this family what they were doing. And it's not easy to talk with Paul. People are very cruel when it comes to anything they don't understand or agree with. Talk about the politics, which is what it comes up. Because somebody's a man, but it's a story. Some Republican, you're a Democrat, we don't talk. That's crazy. That's stupid. It's crazy. We're human beings. We need to relate to each other. And this family over there taught this family patience. And a renewal of the love they have for their child. Because you can get through this. And it's a very different thing. It's my message. I don't have to believe that. I guess I'm my son. We need to walk together. There are no perfect people in this life. We all need someone to walk with us as we walk through struggles, as we suffer, as we don't make the right decisions, as we make mistakes. No matter what it is, we need someone. First of all, we can trust. We trust with our heart and trust with what we did and what we do. That all happened. That it could be a human being, or it could be God, it could be anyone, it could be your mother, your father, your best friend, your best friend. But you need someone. These men are the one who needs someone to encourage them. Not to push them down, not to scream them out. They need someone to put their hand on their shoulder and say, I'm with you. And I'm sure that there are many people in this church today who have done that to family and friends. But there are not people all Let us stand and confess our faith.